Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Live with Pastor Al host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation with us even. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free numbers, 888-677-9673, are open, and we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. But meanwhile, let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again and just pray that you bless the program today. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to be able to point somebody to Christ, Lord, somebody searching that we could be that you could use us in some fashion to help them to see the truth of God's word. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, starting out today, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't wish you a happy Al-Quds Day today. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with Al-Quds Day. It's August 17th, and it's a big holiday in Iran. It's a day dedicated to get rid of the Zionist usurpers of Palestine. And so, amongst other things, the Iranians are trying to develop a holiday that they hope Muslims around the world will celebrate to get rid of the evil Zionist occupation forces in Iran, which translates to a day to celebrate getting rid of Israel as a Jewish state. And I thought I better just start the day off with that today. I mean, we'd be remiss. I wouldn't want a fatwa on my head for not mentioning that today is Al-Quds Day. But that's a whole nother area there. If you've been watching the news, certainly the situation there, they don't know what's happening over there exactly, but one thing is clear. Most experts are predicting that it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when, that there's going to be some kind of conflict over in in Iran, in that area, the Persian Gulf. I mean, we've got warships there. We've increased our presence there. The Saudis are concerned. The Israelis are concerned. And there's a lot of fear in regards to oil being cut off there that flows through the Persian Gulf. And certainly people who read the Bible are looking at that wondering, could this be the foreshadowing of the predicted invasion of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And I think it may be a precursor to that, I think that Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion will be a little bit later on. That's another area. Might get into that later, but wanted to just mention that about Al-Quds Day there to get off at the start here. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can certainly give us a call here at 888-677-9673. One thing that I wanted to actually spend a little bit more time on, I like spending time on current events. I like following current events and looking what's going on there. I enjoyed, pretty much all my life, I've been a news junkie, so I've always kind of liked following that, and especially when we can find some tie-ins with the Bible and maybe bring a biblical commentary towards those. But we don't want to stray too far away always from the fact of the matter that one of our purposes with this program, and certainly as a believing Bible-believing Christian, is to point people to Christ. And I had an interesting discussion with somebody earlier today that I wanted to actually spend a little more time on here, and perhaps we get back some of the other ones as well. Question always comes up. There's a perennial question regarding Calvinism. And Calvinism is something that is a subject that gets argued back and forth. And if you're like I was a number of years ago, you think you have to be either a Calvinist or an Arminianist. And just a real quick summary without getting into all the details. The Calvinist position essentially is that God, in his sovereign will, creates certain people who are going to populate heaven. and certain people that through no choice of their own, because it's God's sovereign will, they are created to populate hell. And so that's ultimately Calvinism in a nutshell. The only people who are going to be in heaven are the ones that God willed to be there, and the ones that God willed to be in hell will be in hell. And the Arminian position, kind of simplifying it greatly in a nutshell, is that you have free choice in whether or not you're going to get saved, but it's also dependent, it's up to you whether or not you stay saved. And so despite the fact that Jesus said in John chapter 10, we'll never perish, they say it's up to you whether you'll stay saved or not. And if you do enough sin, usually it's not just one or two sins, it's usually a significant amount of sin will cost you your salvation, or in some cases you can just make the choice you don't want to be saved anymore. And you kind of get the impression you have to be somewhere on a scale between the Arminian side and the Calvinist side. And I used to think, well, I'm sort of an Arminian because I think it's up to you whether you get saved or not, but I'm sort of Calvinist because I don't think you can lose your salvation, which the Arminians teach and the Calvinists don't. And so I'm some kind of a mild Calvinist of some sort. And so we've talked about it on our Friday or our Sunday night program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, right here on AM 1220 at 11 o'clock until midnight on Sunday nights. We've talked about it a little bit there. We've talked about it at our Bible study each that we have each Friday night at the Bible Baptist Church, where we meet at the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio. And by the way, invite you to come there, 7 to 9 o'clock is when we have that. Be there tonight if you can make it. We'd love to see you. But I was never settled with that, and until doing the study, found out that you don't have to be a Calvinist or an Arminian. You can be a Biblicist, and a Biblicist incorporates some of the truths that you find in Calvinism and Arminianism while rejecting the errors. And if you think about it as a triangle shape, you can picture the biblical position at the top and descending down and to either the right or the left toward either the Arminian or the Calvinistic points. You're descending into error. You're gradually moving away from biblical truth into either the errors of Calvinism or Arminianism. And I said all that to say this. I had a challenge one time given to me in the Gospel of John chapter 1. And that was assured that the Gospel of John here was a Calvinist verse that was irrefutable. And I thought the challenge was rather interesting, so I took a look at it, and let's take a look at it right here. John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, verse number 13, the verse was put to me, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the challenge was, well, isn't that Calvinistic? I mean, it says plainly there, it's not your will, it's not the will of man, it's God's will, not the will of the, not of the blood. We're born not of the blood, talking about salvation, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Said, how can you refute that? That's Calvinism right there. It says God's sovereign will determines who's going to be saved, not the will of man. And I said, well, problem is you took it out of context. You know, if you look in the King James Bible, it's one of the reasons I use the King James Bible rather than the modern translations, is the modern translations break up some of these longer sentences that you find in the King James Bible. King James Bible is a Bible that is truer to the original languages, and it encompasses the thought that you find related in these longer sentences. The sentence there that concludes in John 1 verse 13 starts in verse 12. And let me give you the first part of that sentence, and then we'll read the whole sentence together. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then there's a semicolon, not a period, a semicolon, which means that what comes in verse 13 is added to the thoughts expressed in verse 12, and that's where we read, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So that whole verse 13 modifies or adds to what's being expressed in verse 12, which is very simply expresses that it's God's will to save as many as receive him. And those that receive him, he's going to give power to become the sons of God. The power of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When we believe the gospel, when we believe that Jesus Christ as God in the flesh died on the cross, where he shed his blood to pay for our sins, and he paid for the complete price there, nothing we can do to add to it or take away from it, and he died, was buried, and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. When we believe and accept that, then God said that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we hear the gospel, we realize that Jesus took our place, paid for our sins. He's the Savior. We call on his name for salvation. We receive him, by faith. And God's will is that when we do that, he will give us the power to become the sons of God. In other words, that we'll be saved. And that's not a design that was made by us. I can't decide to get to heaven some other way. It wasn't man that came up with this plan. It was God. And so God's sovereign will is that everyone that hears the gospel and chooses to trust Christ as their Savior, he will save. He will give them the power to become the sons of God. And so makes it very clear when you put things into context and look at a couple verses more, maybe bring a little more out here. But of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, which is certainly sponsor of the program, and also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton, Ohio. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. And getting back to our study here, looking at this, and of course, if you've got a question, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air. But continuing on with this, objection to what I said about John chapter 1, teaching that in verses 12 and 13, that it's God's sovereign will to save those who make the choice to believe and receive Christ as their Savior. And I said, well, wait a minute, what about Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, or actually verses 10, 11, and 12, where Paul wrote, as it is written, there's none righteous, that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How can somebody receive the gospel if there's none that seek after God? And, a twofold answer to that, quite simple. If you go a little further, there's a lot more that we could look at, but I'm just trying to make this kind of quick here during the constraints of our program here. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, Paul also wrote, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And naturally speaking, people are not going to search after Christ. That's why Jesus sent us out into the world to preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And as we proclaim the gospel, that's the manner in which the unrepentant, unsaved individual, the heart begins to be stirred as the Holy Spirit moves upon that heart as they hear the word of God. In fact, let me go back up a little bit in Romans 10 there to verse number 13. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then it says, verse 16, then down to verse 17, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The key to reaching the unsaved person, they're not naturally going to search after the things of God unless they're exposed to the Word of God, and somebody has to go there with it. And that brings us to another point in Ephesians. Yeah, let me turn over here to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's talking about the armor of God, and after describing in this passage of describing the armor of God, we'll jump in here in verse 18 where he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so there's another component. It's not just the proclaiming of the gospel, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he said that, that he wanted people to pray for him, that he could open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's go from there over to Colossians chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, and let's see here, starting about verse number 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, while praying also for us. Notice what he says here in verse 3, Colossians 4, verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bounds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So we need to pray for those that are going forward with the gospel so that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of those that hear the gospel message. And of course, we know, let's see here, we can understand that that's why God said to go into all world and preach the gospel. And it makes sense if God chooses to save those that respond to the gospel message. And if the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that's back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, let's see, let's drop down here to verse number 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross of them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved is the power of God. And he continues on down here talking about the power of the gospel to reach people and to convict the hearts of those that are unsaved. And but the long and short of it is, that I'm trying to get to here, is God has a plan. And it's his will that he will save people who come to him in a certain fashion. And it's his will that only those who come to him having heard the gospel will get saved. That's God's sovereign will part of the plan. You can't come up with your own gospel. You can't come up with your own way. You can't imagine a thing that seems right to you. In fact, the Bible says there's a way it seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. You have to come the way that God has described. You can't make up your own way. You can't do what seems right to you. You have to come in response to the gospel, which of course means that we as believers have to be obedient to God's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's one of the reasons that we have our church. It's one of the reasons we support missionaries in various parts of the world. It's one of the reasons we do this radio program and our Sunday night program so that we can reach out with the gospel. And then as people trust Christ as their Savior, hopefully they can go out and do the same thing. And we want to make the gospel clear, hopefully, but we also want to help people that maybe have questions and things of that nature. And that's one of the reasons we do a live program where we give you the option of calling. And of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can get on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Even today, we got a few minutes left in the program. But let me go to another passage here dealing with this idea of the gospel and dealt somewhat with the errors of Calvinism, saying that God ordains that only certain people get saved. Well, yeah, only people who respond to his gospel message. That's the ones that get saved. But what about the Arminian thought that you can lose your salvation? Well, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. This is probably one of the ones that's most commonly used in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Say, well, see, doesn't that say that you can lose your salvation? No, actually it doesn't. It just is telling you that when the Holy Spirit moves upon the heart of the unsaved person, they've tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost in the sense that the Holy Ghost moved on their heart. The Spirit of God gave them enlightenment. The Spirit of God opened their eyes to see the truth. But then, as we saw in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, they were responsible to receive Christ. They were responsible to believe. And if they chose to reject, if they chose to not believe, essentially what they've done is they have tasted and then spat it out. And so as a result, it's impossible for them to get saved. Hebrews chapter 6 there, verses 4 through 6, doesn't say they were saved. It only says they were enlightened. And that also ties in with Romans chapter 3, talking about there's none righteous, no, not one. God has to enlighten them. He does it when they hear the gospel. He does it when the Holy Spirit moves on their heart in response to the gospel message and the prayers of God's people for them. Then they've been enlightened. But if they choose to spit it out and to have nothing to do with it, well, Hebrews chapter 10, the other passage that supposedly teaches you can lose your salvation, Hebrews chapter 10, and starting in verse number 26, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." And he goes on to elaborate, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Never says he was saved. It says they received knowledge of the truth, and they deliberately turned their back on it. If you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the only way of salvation, if you believe what Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man come to the Father but by me," and you know that's true, you've been enlightened, and you turn your back on it, and you say, "I don't want it, I want nothing of it," what have you done? You've done despite to the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. You have trod underfoot the blood of the covenant. You've been sanctified in that you were set apart. Sanctification does not mean salvation. It means you've been set apart. You're different from the person who doesn't understand the gospel. And he said, if you've turned your back on that willingly, then you know what you've turned down. And you know that the only other option, of course, is hell. There's only the fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And that's because you've rejected the only way of truth. Well, I wanted to share some of that with you here today, and of course invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church. Those times and things, our Sunday services will be given here in a minute, but also want to mention our Friday night Bible study. We talk about things like this. We talk about current events in light of God's Word, just like we do here on Live with Pastor Al, and our Sunday night program at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And invite you to come out the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that's located in Richfield, Ohio, 5171 Brecksville Road, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 meet there at Brecksville Road. And been great being with you. God bless. Tune in again next week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286 or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.